weak or poorly designed foundations. In one case, the chimney was leaning in a precarious angle, and if it hadn't been for the quality construction of the chimney itself, it could have easily collapsed. In this situation, though, the foundation was the problem, and not for the usual reason. The factory had been built in a deep valley, and the valley was a beautiful valley, but water ran into that valley and sought the lowest point. Well, when they built this huge smokestack in one particular spot in the valley, the weight of that smokestack produced the lowest spot in the valley because it depressed the soil. And so all the water that ran off the mountains around the valley all pooled at the bottom of the smokestack. And engineers were shocked to find out that the stack itself was slowly filling with water. And the whole structure was sinking into the saturated soil and starting to lean over. Foundations and how they're laid play a vital part in the integrity of any structure. And the wisest architect of all knows that. And he has provided the surest foundation for the most important structure in all the history of mankind. If you look at verse 11, Paul says there, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Paul had been writing to the Corinthian Christians, as you might recall, about the nature of the gospel ministry in agricultural terms, talking about plowing and planting and watering and harvesting, which were all a result of God's grace and his power. But he changes metaphors in the 9th verse, and he begins talking about the church and the individual believers in the church in architectural terms, as part of a great building project carried out by God himself. And the picture is one that Paul uses often. One of the most notable places where he uses it is in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 19 through 22. It says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Now, Paul uses this imagery throughout his epistles, but this is one of the most important places that we find it. And the image itself would be as common to the Corinthians as that of a laborer in the field. Last week we emphasized how common it would be then to see laborers out in the field plowing and planting and so on. But also, they would be very familiar with this idea of buildings and how buildings go up and who's in charge and what needs to be done. Because Corinth was a growing city, and building projects were constantly going on in Corinth. Now here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 9 through 17, Paul's talking about the work being carried out in this building project and the part that various men play as the servants of Jesus Christ. But it's in this 11th verse that Paul says something critical about Christianity, about the church, about gospel ministers, and about the faith of every believer. I want you to notice first in that 11th verse that Paul says that this is the foundation which is laid for you. He's talking about the foundation for all your hopes, for righteousness, for redemption, for wisdom, for sanctification, for cleansing. As that's the way Calvin puts it, and then he adds, "In short, all your hopes for life and glory." A foundation has been laid for all those hopes, and that foundation has been laid by God. And that foundation was laid long ago, not by any man or group of men, but by God himself. In Isaiah 28, in verse 16, the prophet says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He's talking about laying down his own son as the foundation for all our hopes of redemption and sanctification and salvation and eternal life. Your God is the great architect of your salvation. He designed it before the foundations of the world. He carried it out in the fullness of time. He sealed it with the blood of his only begotten Son, and he applied it to your hearts in the time appointed, and called you to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. So it's a foundation laid for you, already laid out. Secondly, notice in that 11th verse that no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, that is Jesus Christ. Everything that you are as Christians and everything you hope for rests in Him and on Him. And no man can lay any other foundation for those hopes. Back when modern building techniques were still in their infancy and there were no real common standards, buildings, especially in quickly growing cities, would be thrown up often on really poor foundations. And the same slipshod work would be carried out in the upper construction. And when the foundation would buckle or crumble or simply shift or slide, whole walls, even whole buildings would come crashing down because the mortar was poorly applied or it didn't have any flexibility or not enough grip to hold on to the brick surfaces. Can you imagine such a thing, smearing mortar over the brick, but you didn't check to see if it actually gripped the brick, so that if you went up and pushed on the brick, it would just come out of the wall. But nobody was worrying about those things. And the slightest shift in the underpinnings would find the whole building just giving way and crashing to the ground. I think very sadly you can see examples of the results of that kind of building in the tragic earthquake in Nepal yesterday, where buildings were quickly thrown together and so even more quickly brought down. Men have sought throughout the ages to lay down their own foundations. But because they're inherently weak or unstable, and everything built on them is unsteady and suspect, they come to nothing and they can't deliver the things that they promise. We were just talking about this at the Winter Youth Retreat revisit last week. There are lots of religions in the world, all laid upon one man-made foundation or another. But none of them offers righteousness, redemption, wisdom, sanctification, cleansing, and eternal life with the living God. Except the one whose foundation was laid by God Himself on the life and work of Jesus Christ. It's the only one that offers those things. Now, understanding this has somewhat to do with your perception of God Himself. That is, who He is as God. And perhaps I can put it this way. And it might be different things for different people. But I'll use an iPhone as my example. To all of you to whom your phone is a vital part of your life, let me ask you, how many of you have purchased the most mediocre phone your money could buy? I'm not getting any hands raised. Fred did. The most mediocre phone money could buy. How many of you went to the phone store saying, I really need this phone for my work and to keep in touch with my family. I need this phone in order for me to do my job properly. Therefore, I'm looking for a phone that on occasion has reliable service. How many of you went in there saying, is this phone sometimes reliable? You know, if I'm some places, like if I'm going down the interstate or I'm in a building in a basement somewhere, sometimes it'll work. And it usually works well. Usually when I dial this phone, will I get the right number? When I call with this phone, will I normally get the right number? Can I count on that? And look, I'm ready to pay top dollar for this mediocre phone. Nobody does that, right? If your phone is in any way important to you, you want the very best phone your money can buy, and you know it won't be gotten cheaply. If you're looking for a mediocre deity and a casual religion, then perhaps some other foundation will be adequate. Or you might even feel confident in putting down one of your own. But if you want the type of relationship that allows you to have fellowship with this God, the God who presents himself in the Bible, this premier and singular deity, the only true and living God, then only one religion or faith will do. And it rests solely on the foundation that he has laid, and no other groundwork can bring you the salvation and peace that you need that leads to eternal life with this God. This God who alone is glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders, whose righteousness is an everlasting righteousness and whose law is truth. The God who has justice and judgment as the habitation of his throne. The one who appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac and Jacob by the name God Almighty. The one who declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. The God who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. To love and know that God, beloved, to be able to stand before him in peace and safety, and to know the joy of his presence once and forever, you must approach him on his grounds, on the foundation that he has laid in Jesus Christ, his Son. If you just want a relationship with some mediocre dunghill deity, one you can manipulate and use to fill some sort of superstitious yearning, who will be satisfied with dread for loving devotion and your paltry works for worship, then frankly, beloved, any of them will do. But the religion that is built on any other foundation than Jesus Christ will never bring you into the presence of this God, will never bring you peace with this God, and in the end, it will collapse around your ears. It's only the religion built on the foundation that God himself has laid that will bring you to this God. And lastly, note that this foundation consists in the person, in the life, in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's the chief cornerstone in your election. God has determined to bless you in him and no other. That is, you will not find this God, the one who speaks to you in this word, making promises to you in the name of any other. Only in the name of Jesus Christ. This God, the one described here, only makes promises to you in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 1, in verse 20, he says, for all the promises of God in him, that is in Christ, are yes, and in him, amen. To the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. As one so beautifully put it, beloved, he has chosen you in him. He has pardoned you in him. He has sealed you in him. He has built you up and completed you in him. As Paul told Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his present prisoner. But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. All that we hope for, all that we have, all that we anticipate, all that we are as Christians is ours in Christ Jesus. He is the bedrock foundation in which and on which all your hopes sit, particularly in the matter of your sins. That is in regards to your hope that all your offenses against God have been satisfied in Christ. When you take up the bread and the cup this morning, you're saying, on the bedrock foundation of the work of Christ, represented and signified by these things, rests all my hope that my sins are forgiven and that I have found peace with the great living God of heaven. That's what you say. It doesn't rest on weak and questionable promises or pledges of my own heart. It doesn't rest in the sporadic and often questionable works that I've done. Not in any wispy and wishful dream based on my sentimental feelings, but on the solid, unshakable, sure foundation of Jesus Christ, my Savior. There can be no other ground of confidence, says Hodge, for the justification, sanctification, and salvation of men than Jesus Christ. And it's Peter who summed it all up so beautifully when he was challenged concerning the man who had been healed in Christ's name. We're told, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, the people that were challenging him, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by that name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved. Someone should ask you, by what name or power do you claim to be healed from all your sins and made whole? The answer for you better be the same as Peter's. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was crucified, was raised from the dead, by him this man or this woman stands here before you whole. He is the chief cornerstone, rejected by the builders. And there is salvation in no other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved, but by this name, this foundation that was laid by God. And there's no other. This is where our hope rests. He's the one our hopes rest in. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask you to bless this time we've spent together considering Christ our Father.